Craig does, he travels around. He's got a really cool life. He has this, he's an online store. He coaches people. You know, he does some consultations, does some lab stuff, but he loves to travel and teach. So as soon as the weather gets unpleasant for him in Austin, which is like August, July, August, he travels. He'll go to Santa Fe. He'll go to Colorado. He'll go to different places. And he calls up the health food stores in the areas and he says, hey, I'd love to do a talk. And he just travels around doing talks. Is that a cool life? I mean, that's what Craig likes to do. So he's here. He's a distributor for a lot of really very wholesome, very high integrity supplement superfood kind of companies like Sun Warrior and a bunch of others that he can tell you about. So he has a table set up out there so you can visit him afterwards and talk to him. The other thing I keep buying from him but then losing are the amazing little headsets for your phone that don't, they're a tube and they don't allow the electromagnetics to get into your head. And I keep buying them and losing them. He must be something about, he's, I'm a repeat customer. That, yes, yes, they're very cool. Yeah, so you don't get the radiation into your head, and you can see Amaret afterwards, or Craig, he'll explain all about it. So while Scott's setting up, why don't you come on up? Welcome, Craig Summers. And I have another really cool story about Craig. Craig comes to the potluck's, been coming to them ever since. And how long ago was it, 2009? 11.
2007.
2007? Holy cow. Well, in 2011 is when you and Katya met, right? So he came to a potluck in 2011, and he met a girl, a woman, who's right over there, who is now his wife. And they met at the potlucks, and I didn't know for a long time that these guys were a couple. I thought, oh, they kind of look friendly, and they always sit together. And he said, you know we're a couple now, right? I'm like, whoa. So just about, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah, in January.
January, 26th. They got married. So come to potlucks. Go to places where like-minded people hang out, and you never know what's going to happen. So I'm going to leave the stage to you while they get your stuff set up. I'm sure you can fill the time.
Thank you. Rita Marie really did me a great service by turning me on to these DNA tests by 23andMe, and I did a test with her, and the information I got back was just so powerful, so important. So some of that's going to be in this talk.
Oh, good.
Pertaining to vitamins, because what you don't know could be worse for you than what you do know and what you're trying to do for your health, and you'll see what I mean by that in just a minute here. So we're starting out with vitamin A. And everyone...
Oh, did you... They're passing out a copy of his presentation, which is more like a resource guide. They're passing it out for you now.
If anyone doesn't have one by the time they're all out, raise your hand. There's plenty more
outside.
Plenty
more in the back.
Okay, so the name of the presentation is The Vitamin Game, Micronutrients Macro Impact. And I had to keep it short, because you can go on forever about these things, but I wanted to try to hit specific points that maybe you haven't heard about. So starting out with vitamin A, Kati, can you scroll up to the top? There we go, thanks. It's actually a group of compounds called retinoids, and there's retinol with an OL, retinol with an AL, and retinoic acid. And then there's carotenoids. And there's several different carotenoids. Not all carotenoids can be converted in our bodies to vitamin A, but several of them can. And what I found out through this DNA test with Rita Marie is that some people have a genetic mutation that doesn't allow them to readily convert the carotenoids in your carrots and your leafy green vegetables to retinol, as well as other people. You could have either a single mutation or a double mutation. Now, I'd been tested by 23andMe through Rita Marie, and I found out I have a single mutation, which is, reduces my ability to change the carotenoids into retinol. But when I do my test for vitamin A through SpectraCell Laboratories, which I'll just mention is using the white blood cells, which are an excellent indicator of your nutritional status, as opposed to what many of the mainstream doctors use, which is serum blood testing, the clear fluid between the cells, which can fluctuate with many different vitamins, and it's not ideal. It's not actually the best test. So anyway, even with this single mutation, I did my tests, and I was always good on vitamin A. I wasn't low. But someone that I know did the test, had a double mutation, and then when we did the SpectraCell test, low on vitamin A. So obviously that person has having a lot more trouble converting the carotenoids into vitamin A. Retinol, or the retinoids, like I mentioned, are actual vitamin A, and you only find them in animal foods. You can get them in eggs or dairy or whatever. The carotenoids, obviously, you find in all your plant foods. So if someone is vegan and they have a double mutation, that might indicate that they need to actually take a retinol supplement or up their carotenoid intake to a much higher level. And I'm just found out about this. It's all very recent, so I'm working on it. I'm doing some testing with clients right now, and I'm going to see how it all works, if someone with a double mutation can actually get enough through carotenoids. Another really interesting thing to know is that because vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin, we need to consume some fats when we consume our carotenoids or our retinoids. In other words, if you're having a salad, a little olive oil dressing will help the carotenoids uptake, or an avocado. Anything with a little bit of fats really helps. And another really interesting fact is that a zinc deficiency can impair absorption, transport, and metabolism. Zinc is essential for the synthesis of vitamin A transport proteins and is a cofactor in the conversion of retinol. So what that means is we take in food-based retinol, which is spelled with an AL at the end, and then you have a converted to retinol with an OL inside our bodies, and then it gets converted to retinoic acid, which is another type of retinol. Those are the retinoids that I was talking about. So if you don't have enough zinc, we don't make that transformation, and you could end up with any type of a vitamin A deficiency, like poor vision at night or poor vision in general, need for glasses. And of course, most people know this, taking retinoids or retinol in excess can be very dangerous. And lastly, when I went to look for a vitamin A supplement, pretty much the only thing that I could find locally and even online was retinol palmitate, which is a synthetic form of vitamin A. Supposedly you can transmute that into usable forms, but I'm very hesitant to prescribe synthetic vitamins if I don't have a lot of good science on it. So I'm definitely not prescribing retinol palmitate. Let's move on. We'll talk about B1 here. So with most vitamins, you can make them in three different ways. That's the way most supplements are. The synthetic, B1, for example, they use hydrochloric acid on coal tar, which is, of course, coal tar is very toxic. They ferment it, heat it, cool it, and do other steps until this synthetic vitamin is created. It has a similar molecular structure, but it's not the same inside the body. And I would highly recommend staying away from these types of vitamins. You'll find them in discount stores and supermarkets, and some of them have that name that begins with the C. You see it on TV. I don't want to mention any brand names, but beware. The type that I do recommend is natural food extracted B1. Of course, we want to try to get our vitamins from our food as much as possible, but sometimes in our high-stress lifestyles, really supplements can really help and can ensure that we're getting enough on those days where we're so busy and we're maybe not eating as well as we could. So food extracted B1 and other natural food extracted vitamins look like this. You harvest the plant, clean it, put it into a vat of water. The water extracts out the vitamins. They filter it, and you do a little bit more cleaning up, and you essentially have those vitamins that were in the food, and you use that as a supplement. This is the most expensive way to make vitamins. They're not doing it on a massive scale, and it takes large amounts of plants to make just such a small amount. And, of course, Sun Warrior does it this way, which is my favorite company when it comes to this kind of supplemental stuff. Lastly, we have the yeast-fed synthetic vitamins, which I'm calling natural vitamins. I don't truly believe that they're natural. I used to take these vitamins, like companies like Mega Food and New Chapter. I thought they were great. Now I kind of think of them as nutritional yeast in a vitamin pill. They're basically taking the yeast, feeding it synthetic vitamins like folic acid, which is synthetic, cyanocobalamin, which is a synthetic form of vitamin B12. And the theory is that these yeast eat these synthetic vitamins and incorporate them, and it turns into a whole food complex. Well, I tested this theory on myself, being vegan for practically 20 years, having no other B12 sources for a long time. I decided I would use one of these, it's called Innate, that's the brand, it's the same company as Megafood. I would take their B complex for a year and then do a blood test where they look inside the white blood cells, which if you know about doing testing for vitamin B12, you might have heard of the MMA, methylmalonic acid, which they test through urine. Well, this test through SpectraCell, looking at the white blood cells, has a very accurate efficiency, just like the MMA test. So anyway, ate this yeast pill for a year, did the blood test, showed that my B12 levels were low. I called the company, talked to them, they find out they're adding cyanocobalamin to that product. And cyanocobalamin, which I'm going to talk about in a little while, needs to be methylated or changed into a human active form. My body wasn't able to do that, so I ended up deficient in B12. Bottom line, I'm not sold on these forms of vitamins where they're feeding yeast with synthetics. And I think I need to do a little bit more research on them as well. Okay, vitamin B2, riboflavin. Several biotechnological processes have been developed. They use different microorganisms, including fungi and bacteria. And this was really shocking when I found out about this. This might blow your mind. This bacteria called Bacillus subtilis has been genetically modified to make large amounts of riboflavin. And they also genetically modified it to make it resistant to the antibiotic ampicillin. So they're actually treating this Bacillus subtilis with this antibiotic. It's making riboflavin, and now that's approved for both human food fortification and animal food fortification. To me, that's scary. I'm trying to stay away from genetically modified food, and I don't want that in my vitamin. So once again, natural food extracted B2 is obviously best. Let me get a sip here, excuse me. Okay, B3, niacin. Nicotinic acid is what you'll actually see as niacin in most of the health food stores. Nicotinic acid is a synthetic form, and it actually is made from coal tar, ammonia, and formaldehyde. It's less absorbable and has more risks of side effects than the food extracted form. However, this nicotinic acid has been used kind of as a drug for over 50 years to lower the bad cholesterol and raise the good cholesterol. So in this particular case, it does actually help if people have, you know, high bad cholesterol, low good cholesterol. In fact, this form of the vitamin actually helps with almost everything. If you do a test, it can help with even lipoprotein little A, if you've heard of that. It's a risk factor for heart disease. Helps with almost everything on that heart panel. Niacinamide, which they call the flush-free form, because you probably know that if you take the other form that helps, it makes you flush, which is uncomfortable. So niacinamide, the flush-free form, which is found in food, doesn't really do much for reducing bad cholesterol, raising the good cholesterol. Of course, it's important for us. We need it in our bodies. And then there's that one that you can get by prescription, Niaspan, which releases slowly over a period of 8 to 12 hours and causes less flushing, but more side effects, increases the risk of liver toxicity. We could actually synthesize niacin inside our own body as long as we have enough of the amino acid tryptophan. I know someone who is a bodybuilder taking lots of protein, and he actually checked his tryptophan levels and they were low. So it does happen. It does happen that people run low in tryptophan. You also need B6 for that conversion. I personally think if you don't need to use niacin to regulate your cholesterol levels, that food extracted is absolutely the best way to go. Okay, what about pantothenic acid? Well, the synthetic stuff is made with formaldehyde and isobutyryl aldehyde, and that forms either a calcium or sodium salt. Sounds a little scary to me. There's another one called panthenol, which is an alcohol analog, but they call it a provitamin, so we can turn it into the active form inside our body, hopefully. As far as we know so far, that information may change when you learn more about genetics. It's interesting to note that the word actually comes from a Greek word, pantothen, or however you pronounce those Greek words, meaning from everywhere. So you could basically get pantothenic acid almost every type of food. It's readily available. As far as B6 goes, pyridoxine hydrochloride, the synthetic one, actually made from petroleum esters, hydrochloric acid, and once again, formaldehyde. They've actually shown it to inhibit the action of natural B6 in the body, and also has other side effects not normally associated with this vitamin. PLP, is the biologically active form of B6, and it's needed, and this is important, for almost all amino acid metabolism inside our body. So we synthesize some amino acids, not the essential ones, and we also break down other amino acids to make other amino acids out of them. If we don't have enough of this, that amino acid breakdown and metabolism isn't going to happen very well in our bodies, and that could be a very serious side effect most people haven't even heard about. And then there's biotin. Way back in the 1940s, they developed a method to synthesize biotin, and it uses fumaric acid. I looked that up. Fumaric acid is made with some nasty chemicals in the process of making that, which possibly residues left over in there can actually end up in the vitamin. So I'm not a big fan of that one either. But the good news is that we actually can synthesize biotin in our intestines if you have healthy intestinal bacteria. Thing is, today a lot of people have not so healthy intestinal bacteria from antibiotics or other pharmaceutical drugs or stress. So ideally everyone supplements their diet from time to time with good probiotics, intestinal flora, which I'm pretty sure everyone knows about here, right? Even if you don't know much about it, I'm not going to go too deep into that today. But also, you can get it from a wide range of food sources, but very few are particularly rich sources, small amounts. And then there's the folic acid, like we mentioned before. So folic acid, which appears in all these different vitamin supplements that you buy, synthetic. I personally have this MTHFR677 genetic mutation. I have a double mutation, which means I can only use very small amounts of that and actually turn that in to usable folate, which is the form that's found in food and the form that we actually need. What they actually found is that if you take too much of this folic acid and you have this mutation, it depresses the immune system, makes you susceptible to different diseases such as cancer. Now, everyone heard of Brian Clement from Hippocrates Institute in Florida? Well, I used to teach there the health educator program. And I had heard him talk years before and telling people not to eat nutritional yeast. And I thought, well, nutritional yeast is really, a good product. Why? So I approached him one day and said, Brian, why? Why not nutritional yeast? He said, well, back in the 70s, we had people with cancer, and we would feed them nutritional yeast, and their cancers got worse. And that's all he said. And I got to go. And he left. So I'm like, why? I could, you know, thinking about it. Well, I finally put two and two together with the help of Rita Marie. I went home the other night after a potluck. I pulled out a bag of nutritional yeast, and I read it. Synthetic folic acid is added to nutritional yeast. So is synthetic vitamin B12, cyanocobalamin. And I used to eat nutritional yeast a lot. So now I'm like off of it. However, I did a little bit of research, and there are brands of nutritional yeast that do not have the synthetic vitamins added. We found one the other day from Europe, Estonia. That's a country over in Europe. I don't know how readily available they are around, but that's what I'm going to be looking for. We're going to do questions at the end, just almost there, halfway there, I think. Okay, so Katya, you can scroll down a little bit. Let's see what we're going to talk about now. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Okay, vitamin B12, known as cobalamins. A few different forms here. Like we mentioned, cyanocobalamin is a synthetic form. It's not methylated. Most of you know what I mean, but maybe some of you don't. So in other words, we can't add a methyl group to it to make it usable if we have that MTHFR677 mutation, which I have a double, like I talked about before. So this can actually become dangerous also if you take too much, because it's made from the toxin cyanide as well. Much better forms are the hydroxycobalamin, and even better, methylcobalamin. Hydroxycobalamin, some health experts are recommending, but it also isn't methylated. If you have that 677 mutation, like I mentioned, you're not going to be able to use hydroxycobalamin either. Methylcobalamin is really the best form. It's already methylated. Our bodies can use it. I will take back one thing. I know there's some other mutations that Rita Marie can talk more about, and if you have one of those and you take too much methylcobalamin, that could be bad also. I haven't got to the depth that Rita Marie has with that yet. I'm just starting to touch on the subject. It's all pretty new science. But I find that the methylcobalamin works really well for me, and that can be made in two different ways. It can be produced in a laboratory, or it can be extracted off of bacteria. It's essentially made by bacteria. Natural B12 occurs also from bacteria, but it occurs in the intestinal tracts of animals, and it can actually occur in the dirt. So as pretty much everyone probably knows, you get it from animal food, not so much from plant food, unless it has bacteria. Some people say sauerkraut or other fermented foods, possibly. I'm not going to mess around. I'm going to take the methylcobalamin. It works good for me. Too many risks of side effects. I've seen people numbness or tingling in the hands or feet for life because they went deficient. It can be actually really dangerous. Katya, roll it down. Oh, and I will touch on the stomach acid thing here that I have in my notes. As we age, we get lower and lower stomach acid, the hydrochloric acid in our stomachs. Very common. A lot of older people, you notice they start having more flatulence and so forth. When that stomach acid gets low, even if you do eat the animal products, the eggs or the dairy or whatever that has the B12 in it, you may not be able to break the B12 that's bound to the protein in the food. That's actually very common. Take my mom, for instance. She's in her early 80s, and she does eat animal products almost every day. And the last two times I ran her blood, the last 2 years, she came up deficient in B12. And she does have very low stomach acid, I know for sure. So even though she's eating all these animal foods with the B12, she can't break off the B12 from that food. So someone like her, the methylcobalamin lozenges are excellent for. And also you have intrinsic factor. This is another acid secretion in the gut that we need to be able to utilize the B12. Choline, grouped in there with the B vitamins. So there's a couple synthetic forms, choline chloride, choline bitartrate, made using ammonia, ethylene, hydrochloric acid, or tantric acid. I'm not particularly sold on that. You can easily get it from lecithin, and that's the form that I've been using for a number of years. Sunflower seeds will have it. You want to go natural or sunflower lecithin. Cars and eggs as well. I think it's a very, very important nutrient. Vitamin C. Here's another one that we cannot synthesize inside our bodies. Animals can, with the exception of maybe three small animals. Humans can't. So the vitamin C that you see practically everywhere, ascorbic acid, made from corn, I would guess almost all the time genetically modified corn. Hydrogenated, processed with acetone. Usually it's isolated by itself. You really need bioflavonoids with it and other phytonutrients for it to work, like you find in food. Natural vitamin C found in food is always found in combination with bioflavonoids and phytonutrients. And some of my favorite sources are the camu camu buried down in the Amazon, one of the highest sources, amla berry from India, and then acerola cherries. All these three are excellent sources if you want to up your vitamin C intake. Practically all plants, even parsley, is an excellent source by weight, higher than oranges. Broccoli, excellent source. You only hear about oranges on TV from these companies that are trying to sell orange juice. But it's really not even the greatest plant source of vitamin C. And then there's vitamin D, very important. Dr. McCullough telling everyone that they're deficient in vitamin D. I have been testing myself for vitamin D every year for the last several years. I don't take any vitamin D supplements myself. My vitamin D levels are always adequate. But maybe that's just me. I spend a lot of time in the sun. So my body is making a lot of vitamin D. If you're not in the sun as much as me, you may for sure be deficient. So vitamin D3 is the best form to take. Mushrooms produce the inferior D2. They make synthetic vitamin D2 from fungal cell membranes. Most D3 supplements are made from the waxy secretions from sheepskin called lanolin. I'm not a big fan of that. Animal products can sometimes contain viruses or other pathogens found in that animal. So recently I found about lichens. Lichens are a plant. It's kind of like a moss that grows on rocks. When areas get, new areas form, say along ocean shores, the sea resides, first plants to grow are lichens. And they actually have human active D3, the same D3 that we make in human skin. And I was really psyched when I saw that the Sun Warrior vitamins have the lichen extracted vitamin D3, human active. Awesome stuff. And just to give you a little idea about the cost, I talked to the owner of the company about it. He said the amount of D3, like you have two same amounts. $1 worth of sheepskin extracted D3 is the same amount as $100 worth of the lichen extracted D3. Way, way more expensive, but way, way better. And vitamin E, our wonderful friend, important for so many things inside of our bodies. It's actually 8 different compounds, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta, tocopherol, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta, tocotrienol. Synthetic vitamin E, known as DL-alpha-tocopherol. Oh, man, bad stuff. I got a little bit about it written over there. But you can remember synthetic with the L. L stands for lousy. The natural form of vitamin E will say D alpha tocopherol without the L. But once again, that's only one part of eight different parts. And what we're finding is that the tocotrienols are actually more beneficial than the tocopherols. So vitamin E with mixed tocopherols hit the market several years ago and starting to get popular. But I'm consuming a whole food. They call it tocotrienols. It's actually stabilized rice bran. Really delicious. It's like a yellowish powder, and it's fairly inexpensive. You ever eat cream of wheat years ago? Kind of warm, it melts in your mouth. It has almost that same texture, and it's kind of really delicious as the tocotrienols. So I've been using that for a couple years, and my vitamin E levels are great. But foods like avocados and lettuce even, dark green lettuces, are excellent sources of vitamin E as well. And a lot of these supplements now that have all the tocotrienols and the tocopherols are coming from either rice bran or annatto. And lastly, vitamin K. Synthetic vitamin K was actually so toxic that the United States government, FDA, banned its sale in the United States. Made from coal tar derivatives, genetically modified hydrogenated soybean oil. They use hydrochloric acid and nickel, which is a toxic mineral. They found it actually damages the immune system. I looked it up on an encyclopedia, a long list of nasty side effects from consuming synthetic vitamin K. Now, there are two main forms of vitamin K you'll find out there. K1, which you'll find in dark green leafy vegetables. You're eating salads. I'm not talking about iceberg lettuce, but, you know, good salads, right? You're getting plenty of K1 in your veggies. K2, however, is a little bit harder to get. K2 is only found in animal organs, which I don't want to eat, yuck, or fermented foods such as sauerkraut and natto. K2 is really important for the bones. It helps the uptake of, say, calcium and other minerals into the bones. So I would recommend, if you haven't done something with K2 yet, go out and buy yourself some sauerkraut, kimchi, or some other fermented food and start incorporating that into your diet. And if you don't like that, of course, you can get K2 supplements as well. So that's the vitamin game. Anyone have questions about what I just talked about? You raised your hand before. Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't know if you all heard. I don't know if you all heard what he said, but he found something labeled organic nutritional yeast from Germany, not yellow like the nutritional yeast that you find most everywhere. But this is actually brown, and he said it tasted a lot different. And I actually had the similar experience. We got some nutritional yeast, like I mentioned, from Estonia, which didn't have the synthetic vitamins added, and it definitely tasted a difference. Not as tasty. It almost made me think that nutritional yeast is spiked with some MSG or something to give it that amazing taste. So I'm going to do a little bit more research on how they make it, but that's something to look at, the organic one that he found in the bulk bin somewhere.
What do you feel about supplementing with mushrooms, like medicinal mushrooms?
So as far as mushrooms go, let's not cover about the vitamin D from mushrooms because we already talked about that. But I looked into mushrooms years ago because there was a particular health expert out there telling everyone not to eat mushrooms or fungal forms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have the other people out there saying, oh, mushrooms are great. They boost the immune system. So what I did was I went to the top mushroom expert that I could find, who's written a lot of books on it, has a company that sells mushrooms. And I asked him, how do mushrooms boost the immune system? And this is what he told me. It's basically, it's going into your bloodstream, And your body is kind of seeing it as an invader. When you get sick, your body starts to make more white blood cells. Or if you get a pathogen in your bloodstream, you make more white blood cells. So you're creating more white blood cells. You're strengthening your immune system by building more white blood cells because your body sees some kind of a pathogen in the bloodstream. That was what I was told by Paul Stamets, who is the expert on mushrooms. So I don't go out and buy medicinal mushroom powders or capsules or all that kind of stuff. I'll take them once in a while if they're around. I think it's great if I need to boost my immune system for something. But I don't think using them every day for long-term use is a great idea. That's my personal take on it. Yes, sir.
Thank you. I just purchased some synthetic vitamin K2 from Amazon. Should I just basically throw that away?
I was not able to do everything with this stuff. So there are other forms of vitamin K2 that I guess are for sale in the United States that I didn't get to put in on here. It's not going to be that particular form. Metadione, you probably have some other type of form. That particular form is banned, so you wouldn't be allowed to buy it in the United States unless you bought it from overseas somewhere. But I personally wouldn't bother with it. I would definitely go for food extracted, like the Sun Warrior Vitamins has it in there. I'm sure you can find other brands as well.
Can you talk about this? The genetic mutation, is that from blood work that you discovered that individually?
Sure. So I found out that I had a genetic mutation in the MTHFR677. I have a double through doing the test through Reed Mary's website, the 23andMe company. But when you get back the results, it won't actually tell you that. It tells you a lot of other stuff, pages and pages of stuff. But what you have to actually do is go to another website. There's one called Genetic Genie, and there's another one that I forget the name of. MTHFRsupport.com. And on either one of these websites, you can download your raw data from 23andMe. And then that website will run your raw data and spit out a sheet that's actually readable that will show you whether you have no mutation, a single mutation, or a double mutation. And it's really easy to read because it comes up one color if there's nothing, one color, I think yellow if there's a single, and then like red if there's a double. So you just look at the colors, real simple.
I think you may have just answered the question that I want to ask, which is, how do you find out if you're deficient in any of these various vitamins and so forth? And then I had something else I wanted to ask you also. Okay. Well, back in 1985, Linus Pauling wrote a book, How to Live Longer and Feel Better. And he was such an extraordinary genius in so very many fields. I hesitate to ignore things that he said, even though he said them, you know, back in 1985. And one thing that he said in that book was that get your ascorbic acid from any source. And he also said that that the phytonutrients don't seem to give the effect that the vitamin C does, and I was wondering if you had any comments on that.
I certainly love and respect Linus Pauling and his work. I do see quite often, as time progresses, that old research, where they found one thing, is now replaced by newer research where they found something else out. So the research that I have been looking at shows that absolutely that you do need all the bioflavonoids. Certainly ascorbic acid isolated is going to do something. It's going to boost the immune system. But I think from what I've read, it's going to be much more powerful when you have all the bioflavonoids and the other cofactors. When I first got into health many, many years ago, I went way overboard and took way too much vitamin C or pure ascorbic acid like you were talking about. And that could actually mess with your copper levels. And I noticed my hair started turning gray because you need copper for the enzyme that puts the color in your hair. So I backed off on the vitamin C, and then some hair, the hair color came back. So I think you really got to be careful about over-supplementing with things that aren't like in a whole food complex. You can actually look that up and you'll see that ascorbic acid can cause that side effect. Oh yes, your first question. I'm sorry, Paul. So I personally work with SpectraCell Laboratories, as I mentioned at the beginning. They look inside the white blood cells, which take a long time to build up nutrition, a long time to deplete nutrition. Your typical medical doctor looks at serum blood levels, which is the clear fluid between the cells, which really fluctuates, and for the most part is not very accurate. I'm sure Rita Marie uses some other labs. I know Metamatrix labs.
Some you look at the white blood cells, but SpectraCell is certainly a good way to go.
Yeah, so yeah. That's very true. Some you look at the red
like
blood cells, some the white blood cells.
RBC magnesium works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just not the serum clear fluid for most of these vitamins.
I have a double MTHFR gene or mutation, and I was wondering. I was wondering, is it actually a problem for people who have it, or is it just a problem for manufacturers who make fake vitamins? Like, is that the actual problem?
Good question.
Okay, that's an actual great question. And as Rita Marie mentions all the times, it's not about your DNA or your genes, it's about gene expression. If you're eating lots of salads and you're getting all the methylated folic acid and you've got a good source of methylated B12, if you're getting those nutrients, the expression of that mutation won't even be an issue.
May not.
So it's all about gene expression.
I just said may not. Just because you are now, it has to do with what you've done before. So if you've turned that gene on early on, and you are now like changed your ways and you're doing stuff, it may take a lot of other things to turn it off. Because methylation, and one of the reasons methylation is so important, it's important for DNA repair. So if you've had your methylation turned off, your DNA gets damaged by life, by all these carcinogens in the environment, boom, you end up with a problem and you have to, there's a lot more you have to do to remethylate and turn it back on. Yeah.
Turned off by those fake vitamins.
It can be. Yeah.
If I had only ever had natural things.
Yeah, if you had been born and raised on all whole natural foods, you can stop the expression of those genes, because certain genes express, like, but if you have brown eyes, you have a gene for blue eyes that didn't express. So, and every cell in your body has a template of all your genes. It's just a matter of which ones turn off. If your eyes turn on the gene for your arms, you have an arm growing out of your eyes. That's called a mutation. And some of the stuff, crazy stuff we're doing with the environment, like nuclear stuff and GMOs maybe even, we'll find out down the road, will cause some weird expressions of genes. So you're absolutely right. I don't have a double MTHFR, but I have two MTHFR. So I have a single of two different ones. And compared to some of my clients and patients that I see, I'm way healthier with way worse genetics, because I decided long before the Genome Project allowed us to test that I have lousy genes because there's no old people in my family, so I'm just going to like be pristine. And so, yes, and you can turn them off again, but that takes a lot of work, and you can prevent them from being turned on by diet and lifestyle. And all of this stuff with methylation, it all comes back to, it's really a matter of foundations, what did I say earlier, right? You can do all this crazy stuff. Foundations are critical. So I want to say thank you to Craig.
Thank you, everybody.
These are great questions. And if Craig's willing to be available tomorrow night when we do some talking, he can answer some